I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to the program, The Muslim Lady. This is your host, Zainab, and I have with me, Siddiqa. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
A very warm welcome, Siddiqa.
Thank you very much.
Dear listeners, Siddiqa is a student of jurisprudence in the Hawza Ilmi of Qom, and she's also a researcher. She researches a lot on the issues related to women. Well, we have this issue which is called as OCD in short, or shall I say obsessive compulsive disorder, a topic which is sometimes misunderstood or people have little information about that. I would want you to shed some light on that.
Okay. So first, the whole point of discussing it on a women's show is the reason I wanted to sort of look into this is because it is largely misunderstood, and especially in Islamic world. And because it is misunderstood in the Islamic world, the services available are limited. It is misunderstood because it is a relatively new phenomena, and it's not something we've seen before in such large numbers as it is happening today. Now, given that I work with a lot of scholars from around the world as part of my other jobs, I keep on seeing a trend of people coming in with questions that they show symptoms of OCD, which is why it becomes so important to discuss it.
Yeah.
And how within an Islamic framework we can go about resolving these issues. Now, women generally, when it comes to OCD, a lot of women would see eating disorders as part of the OCD, but that's not all. First, I'll define OCD. So OCD is an obsessive compulsive disorder, which is now seen as a mental health issue, and it can severely affect a person's home life, relationship, daily life, and basically a person's day-to-day life becomes extremely hard. Now, OCD, there are different symptoms of it. Some of them are what, first, in the Islamic world. Now, when I mean Islamic world, I mean the scholars. The scholars I have come across, and over here I'm stressing on who I have come across, and they just take it as doubts, like excessive washing, repeating your wudu several times, you know, repeating the namaz several times. They just place it under that category because...
The category of doubt.
Yes, because OCD is a disease that you would have to physically go through it to understand what it is. Otherwise, it becomes quite... It is a mental health issue. Now, some of the symptoms of OCD can be the fear of germs and contamination, which is what it's generally understood as by the scholars who I have come across. And then there are the much more worse forms. Some of them would be very intrusive thoughts. Intrusive thoughts about religion, intrusive thoughts about violence. Now, when I talk about this, I'll give an example of what I have seen.
You completely differentiated it from the doubts, because yes, you came to thoughts now.
Yes. Now, what people generally understood OCD as just doubts, or, you know, doing something constantly. Like, I remember one of my friends was like, I have OCD about cleaning my kitchen. I'm like, that's not OCD. You just need a clean kitchen, right?
Okay.
That's different. Now, that was her case, obviously. But then there's some people who, when it comes to germs and contamination, it's how we generally understand OCD is the minute they touch something, they need to go wash their hands, which is how OCD is generally understood as. But because there are other levels which can be very severely difficult to deal with, like thoughts.
Okay.
Now, for example...
Now it's becoming a little more interesting because you're getting deeper into the topic. We're actually understanding what it is. We would like to know more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Muslim Lady. I'm with Sadiqa and we're discussing about OCD. Yes, Sadiqa, you were actually explaining it in a... You're throwing a deep, deep light into the issue.
So when it comes to... Yeah, so like we discussed, there's one level of fears of germs and contamination and then it goes to the thoughts. Now, the thoughts from what I've seen with people coming to us with... like I said, I work with a range of scholars who are quite... into the communities, and the questions that they get constantly, and I have seen this trend increasing within the Islamic world, is that people would say they have intrusive thoughts about, I'm sorry, I'm using a very graphic example, but it's only to get the message home.
Yeah.
Okay? Then they think that they are the ones who are wrong, that I have made a sin by thinking.
Okay.
Right? Generally, till now, from what I've read, psychologists have not really been able to pinpoint a specific cause for OCD, but because people have these intrusive thoughts, some would have thoughts about violence towards themselves or others, or they would imagine themselves harming their family, even though they don't want to do it. It's not from themselves.
Just a thought.
They do not put it into action.
Then they feel regretful towards their thoughts as well.
Yes, and then it becomes a cycle. The thought comes. And the funny thing about OCD is, and it is very, very difficult to handle, is that it is so intrusive that if you do not concede to it, it will not leave you. And this is what people go through when it comes to OCD. Until they do not concede to it in their mind, it will not leave them. And when they do concede to it, they feel this sense of relief in them. Then the guilt comes in.
Okay.
Then it's a chain. Then again, after again. And from what I've kind of understood is that people go through this OCD as a result of immense pressure in their lives, especially which is seen during the childhood years, either through assault, different forms of assault, growing up in households which were not very stable, or just seeing intensive pressures in the childhood years.
Or any kind of trauma they went through.
Yeah, any trauma would then, to an extent, cause OCD. Now, in women, OCD is generally diagnosed a bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they haven't really pinpointed, but it could be a reason that women do not openly speak about these issues so much faster.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it just starts to show itself later in women.
Now, since you yourself said that women do not speak about it themselves or they do not openly talk about it, what could be done about it? I'll ask you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
We're talking about OCD. Sadiqa, we went through OCD. We differentiated it with doubts and we gave some Islamic examples. And now you came to women.
Yes. So... there are other forms of OCD, but because I have come across the intrusive thoughts so much, and given that I do not feel that this part of OCD is openly discussed within the Islamic circles, and therefore I do feel that there's an importance for us to get it out and get people the help they need. Now, even these intrusive thoughts can sometimes be in the form of them doubting. They do not doubt the existence of Allah, right? But they doubt, their thoughts make them feel that they doubt the existence of Allah. It's a very hard...
difficult situation.
The situation for them.
Sometimes it may lead you to doubt your faith.
Yeah, they do not have doubts about Allah. They do not have any doubts in their faith.
But this feeling.
They're very religious people. But those thoughts which are not... they do not align themselves to those thoughts. That's another thing. They do not feel those thoughts are coming from them. It is something that is within them that is coming in the form of an obsessive...
compulsive
order,
disorder.
That is very difficult for them to separate from themselves. And because it is mental, they have to go about their daily life while having to deal with this. And at some point, they can't do it. And therefore, some people do go for suicide, which shows the extremity of this issue. So I had spoken to my teacher about it, right? My teacher is a teacher in jurisprudence. And I asked about these issues, and her answer was simple. These thoughts, because it is a mental disorder, these thoughts do not entail any sin on the person. So if you go through these thoughts at any point, just know that you're not going to be sinned for it.
It's okay.
Yes. But that does not mean that you should not get the help you need.
All right.
Right?
So there you go. You don't have to feel regretful about it. You have not committed a sin if a thought is just coming in. But at the same time, you need to seek help.
Yes. Because if a person does not seek help, it can be very lifelong. I know of people who've gone through this for 15 odd years. And later they were able to seek help. And the reason they went through it for 15 years was because they were afraid to speak of it, given that it is such a taboo subject. It is a subject that people do not discuss. Now, if a person is having anti-religious thoughts,
which
they do not align to themselves, but because they're so scared of speaking out about it, because people might say that these people have left their religion.
How can he think about it? How can she think about
exactly.
it?
Exactly. And they're so scared of speaking about it that they don't speak about it. And then the issue goes on for many years, and the help that they could have easily gotten is the chance is lost, basically. So, yes, just making sure that the help is gotten. And there are different helps available, which we can discuss.
Alright, so any anti-religious thought coming into your mind and you're not speaking about it openly can actually lead into problems. You should speak about it, seek help.
Seek
from
help
a counselor.
From counselors, yes. All that's right. One way of seeking help.
So what do you do with women over here?
Okay, so the methods of getting help for OCD, one of them is going to a psychologist or a counselor. I would recommend an Islamic counselor who's able to help you get through, especially if those issues are religious based. It would be helpful to go through an Islamic psychologist or a counselor who's able to walk you through methods of containing these thoughts such that they do not overly burden your life. And then there are other methods. Some of them are like meditation. Meditation has seemed to help a few people who I know. I'm talking about an Islamic form of meditation over here. When they're doing yoga, they utter the term Om, which is a Hindu god.
Yeah.
But an Islamic form of meditation, it is a meditation which is you relax the mind, but it also by uttering the word Allah. So bringing that focus within yourself towards Allah to bring the mind some calm and peace.
All right. Thank you so much, Siddiqa, for being with us. Thank you so much for explaining actually what OCD is. Now in another session, we'd like to continue and give more examples from women, basically. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illallah.
Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes. so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah,
Muhammad is the messenger, so Allah is our return. The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.